You are listening to a sermon by Carl Brown, recorded on Sunday, August 19th, 2012, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Good morning. It's a wonderful morning. And I'm saying that as somebody who has been baking like a slut on a plate for the last month on my roof. It's so nice outside this morning. The title this morning of the sermon is The Ghost of Religion. It's part of the continuing series on faith. The readings that we just did are actually from the lectionary. Proverbs was about folly. And you might want to ask yourself, who decided what is folly? And who's responsible for deciding what the community thinks is wisdom? Whose responsibility is that? And in Ephesians, it spoke about morals. And again, where does this decision come from? These values, folly, wisdom, morality. Throughout history, those values have been the domain of religion. Now, the title is The Ghost of Religion. What do I mean by ghost? Well, the word's got a number of connotations, so I should clear that up. I refer to the meanings of trace or a wisp, as in the ghost of a sunbeam, just barely a sunbeam. Also, I'm using it to mean spirit, as in soul, just like our soul inside our body. When the body dies, the soul lives on, the ghost of religion. Religion is something that never really dies. So, what I'm going to do here is three things. I'm going to ask questions. I have three questions to ask. I'm going to discuss faith, discuss religion, and then we're going to answer the questions. So the three questions are faith and religion separate parts of worshiping God? Can we have religion without faith? And can we have faith without religion? So, again, is there a difference between religion and faith? Can we have religion without faith? Can we have faith without religion? Something for you to think about when we talk about religion and faith here. First of all, we're going to talk about faith. Defining faith. Faith in God has many degrees and understandings. Just to give us a reference, let's take a look at three of the classic definitions of faith in God. And as I read these definitions, try to visualize which definition best describes you. So, faith. And these are sort of classic definitions. Deist. A deist believes in the watchmaker God. This is a God that wound up the universe and walked away. This is a God that made the universe according to specific rules, and those rules cause other things to happen which have rules. Those rules make the universe work without God. He made the universe so perfect that, bam, right from the instant of the big explosion that we're told about, everything worked exactly as he planned. So he just started it, turned it on, and walked away. So he created us and created the universe. But he's not there for us every day. He's not managing our day-to-day affairs. He's not responsible for the car accident you had, etc. This is the God of the intelligent design theory. You've ever heard of that? I know you have because I spoke on it. Deist. Next we have something called a theist. You might be a theist, A theist believes in a caring God. He knows a loving God, a God who created the universe, and he made us, and he daily guides us. He loves us personally and cares for us. A theist believes that God answers prayer. Okay, next we have the atheist. I suppose maybe if I put them all sort of this way, everybody will get a chance to see them all. Atheist says there is no God. He doesn't believe in any deity. He rejects God. So now we've got three reference points for faith. I can talk about the way we choose our faith position. So, how do we choose our faith position? First of all, you don't have to fit exactly on each of these definitions. These definitions are not islands. They're more like points on a line. For example, if you're an objective realist, you might be an atheist. If you are a fideist, which takes everything on faith, you would be a theist. Most of us are somewhere in between here. Okay. Well, how do we make this choice? For example, you might believe in a loving God who cares about you personally. All right, where does that put you? Well, that puts you close to here. Maybe you're a theist. But you might not believe that he guides your every move and the movement of everything around you. Every moment of the day, you might not believe that he does all that. Rather, you might believe that he lets you screw up your life any way you like. But that he'll somehow rescue you from certain unbearable situations, specifically when requested by prayer. So you don't believe he does everything. He's not responsible for every drop of rain that hits you. But you know, when things get really rough and you pray, he might, you know, fix a few things for you. So you might be somewhere in between theist and deist. Okay, that's a choice that you would make. And I'll point it out again, but I wouldn't know that from looking at you. I might observe you 24 hours for a day, and I might never figure out quite exactly where you are on this. This is a very private thing between you and God, your faith, where you fit on this line, this continuum. Okay, secondly, choosing our faith position seems to be a very irrational decision. So even if I knew how you made your decisions, I might not be able to figure out what your faith is. Why would I say that it's an irrational decision where I choose to be on this faith line? Well, often our faith position of choice seems to be at odds with the rest of our decision-making mechanisms. Let me present myself as an example. I'm a fellow trained early on in logic. I taught troubleshooting courses in college for years, and those were all based on observational truths. And yet, here I am, a lay preacher with a life-encompassing faith. My choice of faith position seems to be at odds with the rest of my day-to-day decision-making. Okay, so we have these definitions. We could figure out where we fit. And this is all kind of secret. This is something between us and God. Now, let's talk about religion. Let's define religion. You can choose to attend a church that is Christian, or Muslim, or Shaker, Quaker, Dervish, Buddhist, Hindu. That's your choice. Any number of churches out there, any number of religions you can choose from. This choice you make, which religion to follow, is sometimes by conscious thought. For example, you might really like Quaker history and worship. So, you go to a Quaker church. Or sometimes you choose a religion by no decision at all. You're just born into it and you stay in it all your life. As we know, However, attending a church and following most of its religious rules does not mean that you have faith. It does not necessarily mean that you take the existence of a creator God seriously and worship him truly if you're going to church. We've all heard stories, we've all seen that, the news loves that sort of thing. Church-going person, convicted of all sorts of horrible things. Let me point out here that your faith, again, is a secret between you and God. Just by looking at you, I can't tell where you are on that faith line. But your religion, however, is obvious to all who observe you. Just by seeing you guys here, you know, if an observer walks in, looks at you, he can make a pretty good guess. He'd say, you're probably Christian. Just because you're here in this religion. Just because you're here right now. That'd be a good guess. As humans, we seem to have a desire and a need for religion. Like a ghost, religion has lived on even after the ancient gods have all died. As humans, we need religion. Religions evolve rules for their communities. How to be an asset to your community is an important lesson learned from religious teachings. And religion provides comfort to the sick of heart and body. Religion meets needs that are deep within us. Now, what is religion exactly? I looked up some dictionaries. Here's some quotes. A specific fundamental set of beliefs and practices generally agreed on by a number of persons. Or the body of persons adhering to a particular set of beliefs and practices. The practice of beliefs, ritual observance of faith. Now, some of you might actually have been listening to me, some of you, and thinking, you know, we all have religious needs. I know some people who don't have any religions. They're not religious at all. I'm not convinced that you do know anybody like that. Religions all have a community. Religions support their followers. They provide guidance on cooperating within that community. The morals, if you will. It's arguable from those dictionary definitions which I just read out that sports can be a religion. A body of persons adhering to a particular set of beliefs and practices. The practice of beliefs. Well, if religion is actually separate from faith, that was question number one, then most certainly sports can be labeled a religion. Of course, if you really wanted to stretch the point about faith, which is belief without proof, there are those fans who have faith that the Canucks will win this year. There's faith. Okay, where does religion come from? It predates Jesus. It even predates Abraham. It's been with us prehistorically. There were gods of the fields, gods of the fireplace, gods of fertility, and they all had their religions. How you should live to appease this god. Right. Humans seem to need and love religion. Religion is so important to humanity that the god related to any of these religions often seems peripheral. The religion's the big thing. That's what we do every day. What does religion provide? It provides us with a moral authority. And I like to say that again. Religion provides us with a moral authority. Society doesn't. You might say, hey, wait, we got the police. The police only attend. Our society only intervenes after you've broken the boundaries. Doesn't give you guidance, doesn't help you not to break the boundaries. That's what religion does. Okay. Religion in the community gives us rules of how to live. Religion provides the rules of how to behave towards others. Be kind. Forgive one another. Be slow to anger. Be understanding. Morality, how to live in your community. This is not taught in schools. Think about that. Try as you might, you won't be able to get a master's degree in being kind. In fact, the only place in the entire educational system that you get any kind of training in being kind, forgiving, slow to anger, etc., would be kindergarten. And you don't even have to pass to get out. It's a shame. If there were passing grades and you couldn't get out unless you'd actually studied your kindness lessons and your forgiveness, we'd still have a lot of politicians in kindergarten. Studying hard to learn to be understanding of others. So values, community, kindness, tenderness, even art and architectural values, how the quality of our surroundings affects our worship. Where does that come from in our society? It only comes from religion. We trust religion to educate our children and ourselves in these things. Okay, I began the sermon with three questions. Let's end it with three answers. Number one, first question, are faith and religion separate parts of worshiping God? No. And why do I say that? Well, because of the following answer. Can we be on this line? Can we have faith without being religious? No, you can't. If you have faith and you worship God, you will have a religion. Even if you follow the millions before you and invent your own religion, you will have a religion. We can't have faith. We can't seem to believe in God without having religious rules, without guiding each other. We need religion. It's the only part of our society that, by definition, provides the kindness and tenderness that we all need to stay sane in this chaotic world. Humans have a basic need for religion and will always find it. So they're not separate. Three, can we have religion without faith? Well, sadly, the answer here is yes. There's all sorts of religious people out there who lead a rather faithless secular life. They do not truly worship God. They are faithless. So humanity will always have religion. There may be people without faith in God, but even they long for religion. I attribute the popularity of sports to that. You listen to a lot of people talk about sports, it's just like a lot of people talking about God. They got no proof, but they really believe their team's going to win. We should never let our religion be a ghost, especially if disaster strikes our heart and we feel as if our faith is dying. Each of us, at times in our life, will find our faith weakened. Everyone has times when their faith seems ghost-like, a mere wisp of what it was. During these times, our favorite hymns may be a refuge, the comfort of ritual for our religion, the familiar words. We take comfort in that during these times, and this is okay. In fact, this is how it should be. Religion should never be our master, but we must always remember that religion should be our comforter, our faith supporter and friend. Of course, during difficult times, we pray. We ask God to help our damaged faith. But that's only one part of the solution. Because when you're having a tough time in your life, when your faith seems too weak, and God seems too far away, at times like that, don't let your religion, your church, get far away from you as well. Don't let the love, the community, the tenderness, and the kindness, and the sense of perspective go untapped. The official name for it might be religion, but the real expression of it for us is our church. Be part of it. Don't let yourself down when your faith has faded. When you are sinking, always remember to let your church buoy you up. May God bless us all.